All right, we're doing this. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. I'm Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A very dejected Sammy McKee.
He's worked through several stages of grieving.
Derek Brandeo, David Sis Boombaugh. We're glad you're aboard. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. And remember to download us if you can't catch us live. I'm so happy this show has finally started. I can't listen to you mumble. I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do this today. I don't want to do this today.
Yeah.
Okay?
I don't want to do this today.
Well, you're doing it.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I'm sitting here, pal.
And we got a lot of listeners out there that says we want an explanation.
God.
And I'm not sure you're going to get it in the next hour or so. And if we don't, by chance, we'll maybe squeeze out a little bit out of Elliot Friedman, who will be joining us in studio at the top of the hour. So, Leafs bow out in the first round against the Boston Bruins. 2-1 overtime loss in Game 7, third time in four seasons that they've stalled in the opening round. First and foremost, tip of the hat to someone who doesn't even have his name on the show, our boy Sammy, picked Boston in 7. We tried our best, JB, go Leafs in 7. Were we close? Were we not that close? Why don't you start?
Just close.
Well, I mean, you're literally an overtime goal away from being right. So,
but is it close?
Yeah.
You know, what's the expression? You know, almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, I think is the expression. It's like that, that just close doesn't matter anymore. Unfortunately, I can't believe here we are doing this again. And not because I thought they were like predestined to beat the Boston Bruins, but by any stretch, but just that they really did do the thing where they wrung maximum pain out of the fan base, the comeback to make you believe Wohl goes in, they turn it around, Matthews gets healthy. Again, the rug gets pulled out. It's just, mind-blowing that it happened in the most devastating fashion possible.
Do we, we're going to get into, like, for sure, what's next.
Sure are.
Don't worry, we're going to get into that. But just, how do we look back at this series? I don't know. A month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be that, yeah, same results, but a different way to get there? And if it was?
Same old Leafs, Kippy.
Couldn't
no,
score.
There's absolutely no.
No, yes. No. When you have guys disappear like Willie for the first three games or a good portion of the middle from Austin, and then Joseph Wohl disappears in game 7 out of nowhere.
It's not
the same old, Sammy. This one was like, I can't even describe it on how bizarre of a series it was to watch.
I think, you know, right now you're talking about that and you'll talk about, but I think when you look back on it, it's just a fourth straight loss to the Boston Bruins in the first round. Like, sure, people remember that Joe Wohl got hurt and people remember all that stuff, but ultimately they were right there to win it and they didn't. So I think people will, those will be little footnotes. But a couple of years from now, whenever you talk about this, it'll just be that they lost again to the Boston Bruins like they always do, I think, personally.
It is funny because everyone I've talked to, like, you're not even allowed to do the excuses thing, right? But what a strange series. There were extenuating circumstances that made it challenging. Again, that doesn't absolve them of not scoring goals, of losing 4 times in a 7-game series. But boy, what a strange one.
I just, you know, over the last 48 hours, my Leaf fans, my brothers and sisters who are diehard Leaf fans, have just been the absolute punching bag of the NHL world again. And, you know, I'm very online. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Twitter. I have people sending me memes. I have people saying mean things to me about the Bruins, how they own the Leafs. Like, it's just everybody in Leafs Nation has taken so much crap from this era of Leafs hockey because of the hype that was brought up. And it's just a really, really tough pill to swallow to have to go over this again. And that to me, and we're going to get into what's going forward, that to me is why you need to have some kind of change. I don't know what the changes are. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
But we can't go through this again with the same.
The whole, like, could it have been different thing doesn't matter when you're this close. It shouldn't be this close. And you got to pull away.
And that close to what?
Yeah, right.
Like,
sneaking through and then losing to Florida or whatever.
Beating the worst version of the Boston Bruins in the last 10 years in overtime and then getting pasted by the Florida Panthers. Close to what?
Yeah.
They're not close to anything. Sorry.
No.
I'm feeling today.
All truth.
We've joked around earlier in the week about burying them and then bringing them up from the dead.
Yeah.
And then about 2 hours, I got pretty much confirmation that Wall was out and everybody buried them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hung in there. Saturday night, they did more than hang in there. They had at times the Boston Bruins on the rope. They just couldn't find a way to separate them. Selves,
okay.
But I thought they played a pretty solid game, and they're still not ready to win, in my opinion, because when it was all said and done, still that issue of protecting a lead or bringing it home, they couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it, especially going up 1-0 in the third.
Yeah.
And then finding a way to lose.
They made my son cry his first ever sports tears. 7 years old, first ever time, gets to stay up, watch a few games of the series, starts to believe, thinks it's like a movie where the good guys are going to win in the end.
Yeah.
Going into OT, I was like, just so you know, I've seen this movie. So if it ends this way, it didn't matter. Heartbroken. So I feel for all the fans, all the kids, everyone trying their best to will this team across the line. I feel bad.
So just judging by your tone today, Kippy.
Yeah.
Like you're not, the Leafs Nation is up in arms. Like there is no... There is no respite. There's no one feeling good. There's no one being like, "What?" But maybe one more kick in the can will get it done.
No.
There's not one. But like,
no, they didn't get
it done. Are
you
zagging
here? No, I'm not zagging. I'm not zagging. I'm just saying that there's a sense, and they ran out of time, but there was a sense that like they kind of got it right this time, not with the result, but just the look. And there might be some people behind the scenes trying to hang on to that as something to move forward on. No, I'm just telling you.
No, I'm not reacting to the you saying.
And I said, we sat here and you laughed at me when I said you got to win games 2-1. That's all they've been trying to do the last three times. They fell short. They
couldn't win them.
No, they fell short.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's the first time in 10 years that we've seen them at least have some
I guess it looked different, but no better.
Of a playoff type of style.
So this crap sandwich tastes better than last year's PP milkshake?
No, they're all the same. They're all the same.
Seven winner-take-all games.
I'm just, listen, we're going to get into it, and I'm going to get into it, and I'm going to have my say like everybody else. But I'm just saying that, like, it was an enjoyable, I get your emotion of it, losing and losing, but... I don't know. I thought it was a fun game to watch.
Oh, my God. This is a baffling game. I enjoyed game 7.
Well, I didn't.
I'm evolving.
Nothing about that was fun. Nothing.
Okay. All right.
Now you guys are going. You're
going super. You're going super fan on me. You're going super fan on me. It's fine. It's fine. All I'm just saying is I enjoyed for the first time watching the Leafs try to win with a playoff style. That's all.
Enjoy
the right way.
That's all.
You're right. And in games,
talking about the game. We're not talking about what happens. Yeah. We're not talking about, the years of misery. We're just talking about face value Saturday night.
I think there's something to what you said for game 5, 6 and parts of 7 as well as the Leafs have ever played defensively, right?
Yeah.
That's that's great.
It is. And I'm not saying that it was good enough because, listen, they need to. You're ready to win this time of year. You close out 1-0 with 10 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go watch Dallas last 8.5 minutes last night.
Couldn't watch hockey yesterday. Sorry.
No, okay. I'll tell you all about it then. I'll tell you about it.
Couldn't watch.
Vegas didn't get a sniff. Okay. Not a sniff. That's how you show you're ready to win. Leafs, whether it's Samsonov, who buckled,
could they score a couple goals?
Yes. Right.
like,
they didn't need to. One was enough Saturday night.
It wasn't enough.
One was enough. If you shut down.
It's insane to have the takeaway be they need to defend better. They let, how many goals did Boston score in that series?
One sometimes is enough. Okay? Mm. They're just not ready. They're getting closer, but they weren't ready to and Samsonov was not ready. Sorry. Short side again, no good.
No good.
No good.
Is this you absolving your boy?
Who's that?
Marner. Of not scoring.
One big picture, he still has more points than all the rest of them in the last 7 years. So, yeah. Like, they're all
nine
the same.
In the first series.
They're all the same. I know everybody wants to beat up Mitch again. He's the poster boy. It's so funny listening to the media go after, like, you know, what do you think of Mitch taking a beating? They asked all the players, what do you think of Mitch taking a beating? Everybody had to answer to that.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And okay. And everybody else? No. Marchand, the last four games, had two shots on goal and goose eggs.
Yeah, and they won.
And that's the bottom line.
And he had 8 points through four games.
And that's the bottom line. Yeah. That is the bottom line. I get it. But, like, my whole point in all of this, and Mitch was not good enough, but neither was Matthews. Neither was Morgan Riley. Neither was Samsonov when a push came to shove.
You're a good hockey analyst who watches this stuff and has a great idea. You can't have Mitch on the same level as Matthews, who was hurt and injured, or hurt and sick. And you can't have him on the same level as Willie, who missed three games and scored three times.
I do. It's just result. Sheldon said it. You either get it done or you don't get it done. So you got sick. All right, well.
Okay, well, he had a goal and three assists in, you know, three and a half games.
One game he showed up.
Great. It's better than zero, isn't it? How is it the same?
They're all in it together, my friend. I don't separate them. They're all in it.
Well, you should. Because they make different contracts. They're not the same people. And you have to make decisions on the individuals that can't get you across the line.
I'm speaking about...
We do not agree.
The guys who are paid the most. And for the blue line, it's Morgan Riley. I mean, Morgan. You can't stand flat foot and watch the Boston Bruins come at you at 1,000 miles an hour.
So you hear all this noise going on in Leaf Nation, everyone going, I heard you last night on with Ken Navonka talking about revisiting contracts and how Mitch and JT are probably the guys you're going to have to talk to at some point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the whole thing didn't work. It never worked, right?
Okay.
Four guys, four forwards, doesn't work.
Yeah.
Two guys are locked in. Two guys are floating around there with the year left on their contracts. It's not, you don't have to be a rocket genius to figure out what's happening here.
No. Okay. No, you don't.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, just what changes? You said it off the top of the show. Changes? Where do you want to start?
Oh, I want to start with Marner, Kip. Like, I do.
Okay.
I know, like.
I don't want to start with Marner.
I know you don't.
I want to start with who decides.
Yes.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
I mean, sure.
Okay.
But if we're talking about the on-the-ice product here,
it's the easiest out.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
You can't commit to those other two guys 5 years and 8 years and then bail on it 12 months later.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that, and I'm not even sure he wants to come back.
No.
How much can you take?
Well, and that's a fair question, too. You know, I do genuinely wonder, because obviously nothing can happen unless he doesn't want to come back. Or at least is willing to entertain something else. Otherwise, it just is what it is.
Do you think he wants out of this?
You didn't really get the sense out. Did you get the sense out of today? Do you want to go to some clips already and get into it?
Do you want to play the Marner clip from today? That's everybody's really mad about.
That's where you want to start.
I mean, we can start a bit with it. The clip one from Marner there, Derek.
I mean, that'd be a goal. I've expressed my love for this place, this city. Obviously, I've grown up here, so, you know, we'll start thinking about that now and, you know, trying to figure something out.
What does it mean to be a Maple Leaf?
It means the world. Obviously, we're looked upon as, you know, kind of gods here, to be honest, and, you know, something that you really appreciate, and the love that you get here from this fan base and this attention is, you know, kind of none like any other, so... You saw with the Raps a couple years ago, you know, the love that they still have for a lot of those players that they had to trade off this year. And that's kind of the love you want.
Yeah, the gods rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah.
I just listening to the way he said it, what he's trying to say is we get treated really, really well here. Mm-hmm. It just maybe the bad choice of words. But
it's Sarah Dern, okay. Right?
It's not like, hey, we're gods. We just got knocked out in the first round, but I still think I'm a god.
I understand what he's trying to say, Kipper.
Yeah.
But there's just too many instances of him being this way with the media.
Buddy, I can't argue with you that his choice of words sometimes, and I'm the first one to say.
I don't disagree that, like, he's right. They are looked at and talked about in that regard. So it's not ridiculous. It's not just a timing thing.
It's a timing thing for sure. And it's not the right word to use a couple of days after you've been eliminated. Yeah. But as far as the way we know, like when they win and everybody's feeling great, he's not that far off of the ass kissing that goes on between this city and their players.
Yeah. That's he's not. And I think we're both right and we're all on the same page here that there's just this like trend of like,
but there are times when he gets his guard up and he can come off standoffish and there are times when you're like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. So,
and it's with the media too,
I think there was no way that everyone was going to talk today and we were going to sit here today and go, yeah, I thought everyone nailed it. You know, like it's tough. Phrase is not great.
Here's what I'll say about these media days, because they've had a lot of experience in this.
Yeah.
It's 7 of the last 8 years they've been out in the first round. So they've had a lot of chances to do this exact same one. And I've listened to all those. I've worked in this here for 10 years. I've done every one of them. Listened to them all. I just would kill for one time for the four guys to have a different tone than they do. I always do. Morgan Riley, different tone today. Devastated. Like, looked like he had legitimately been maybe up night all night crying. Like, he was devastated.
Do you have?
I do have a Morgan Riley clip.
I want to hear it.
Okay. I'll play the Morgan Riley on where the Leafs are at. Clip one.
I don't want to stand here and try to tell you that we're on the doorstep of anything. Because, you know, we're sitting here today doing this. But the belief is there that it's attainable. But there's work and improvement that has to take place. So how close are we? I don't know. We'll see. It feels both attainable and a ways away, and that's what drives you as an individual. That's what drives a team forward to either have success or we'll see.
And there's always going to be that sense that if you're on the inside, if you're hoping that you're still part of the solution, you're not going to give up. Mm-hmm. It's common, but there's teams saying the same thing that missed the playoffs. There's same thing with the teams that have been knocked out.
But not like this, Kipper. It's not like this. It's like the tone.
No, I'm just saying in general, though, it doesn't matter if you've been knocked out 1,000 times in a row or the first time. It's always the same thing, that you're always going to feel like you want to be a part of the solution and we're never going to give up hope. But the problem is hope isn't like a strategy. And that's what...
No, but it's not his job to construct one. It's his job to tell us how he's feeling about things.
Yes. And he did. He's like, sometimes I feel really close, and sometimes I can't tell you that we're close at all.
Yeah.
We keep knocked out in the first round.
It's actually a very accurate sentiment for how I feel about the Leafs, kind of teetering on this edge of like, God, if they got a trade right and they added the right guys, you could see it pushing them across the line. Same time, if you give up on a great player and
anybody
get worse...
Any team could say that. Right? It's just part of the frustration of being a Leaf fan is that feeling like Morgan. Are we close or are we not close? I don't know.
The difference between the Toronto Maple Leafs and any other team, though, Kippy, is that they are the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this version of the Leafs with these stars has had more hype than anyone, really. Like, they have been hyped up there with the McDavids and the McKinnons, and they've not lived up to the hype. So it's like the perfect sort of recipe for a fan base to really resent a team when they've been told nonstop by people
like
me.
Treated
like gods, where they've built these guys up and you've got nothing in return. You've gotten one series win in 8 years of regular season success where you've been relevant and you've been fun, but it's almost worse to just...
Well, you'd like to see him care the way it feels like Morgan did, you know, and it hurts.
But I honestly feel like if I went back and grabbed clips from 7 of the 8 media days over the last 8 years, I could have played them today and you guys wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the same tone over and over.
With the exception that nobody said, we just got to learn from this. They avoided that one like the plague.
Well, I'm sure they had a big team call yesterday and said, no learning experience, talk tomorrow at locker cleanout day.
Yeah.
Don't say it. But I don't know.
Enough of an education. I mean, you know, in terms of series takeaways, Kip, like, I thought Matthews gave what he could and played pretty well. I thought Nylander showed up and gave, you know, had...
Did we get an explanation from Matthews?
No explanation on injury.
Would you like to hear what he said?
Sure.
Okay, let's play Matthews on his injury. Kept him out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was tough. Got really, really sick after game 2 and, you know, playing game 3, obviously just kind of going through that. You know, still kind of trying to recover going into game 4. Took a weird hit and, you know, couldn't go any longer. And that's as detailed as I'm going to get into it. I mean, obviously it was tough. It was really frustrating. It sucks and was killing me to watch. You know, proud of the guys and how they fought and climbed our way back into the series. And, you know, I was fortunate to get to play in that game 7 and just try to go out there and give it my all. And obviously it's, you know, disappointing and frustrating being here today.
You okay with that? Just a weird hit?
No, I'm not okay with that. That actually might be the worst thing that was said at the press conference today, because when there's an information void, people fill it with theories and whatever, and it just makes it worse. Hey, so you just have to say what happened.
This time of year, there's lots of weird hits.
Yeah.
You know.
So you think he's
No,
soft
I don't think anything. I just, to me, think people need a better explanation than just a weird hit.
I do too. I'm actually shocked that they're saying weird hit and no, like, we know. Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? What happened? Everyone at the end of the year, you know, time to share what happened.
But ultimately, he guts through whatever the weird hit gave him.
Yeah.
I thought he looked at about 25% in game 7. If that, like, I thought he was ginger laboring a little bit. Finds a way to get a puck off the half board into the slot to Willie Nylander, who scores a goal that we thought should have been the winning goal. I thought he was...
Yeah, there's a chance that ends up being like, you know, a moment in Leaf lore rather than another moment.
I mean, did he lead them in points?
Yeah, with a whopping 4, yeah.
Yeah, he played... Well,
him,
he played
Max, and Bertuzzi.
5 games,
yeah.
And he got 4 points. Yeah.
But 3-1.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time... So power rank the reasons they lost this series, if you can do that. What do you think the number one reason they lost this series?
It's got to be
specialty
offense.
Teams, yeah. Power play. Yeah.
That's
power play.
That's me. I agree. Right?
Power play.
And what are the two most...
And goaltending.
Well,
No, I'm sorry, but never got it straight.
Yeah.
Never got it right. Chasing it the whole season. Come on, Sammy. Snap out of it, Sammy. And Joseph Woll gets hurt. This guy was supposed to be in a position by the end of the year to be your definitive number one goalie moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of bail on him after the 2 losses to Boston. And it's Sammy's ball.
Mm-hmm.
Till it's not Sammy's ball.
Yeah.
And then he goes in there, and it's not even he's not even re-injuring his ankle. It's a new injury.
Yeah.
How old is he? 26?
Younger than that.
I think he's about 26, around that age.
He's not a kid. He's not, if he was like
25, yeah.
If he was 22, 23, I'm like, okay, he's just going through this.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's got a history of being hurt.
Yes, he does, absolutely.
And there's not a chance I would label this guy as our number one goalie going into next year.
No.
That is a disaster waiting to happen for a guy that cannot stay healthy. He needs to go home. He needs to reassess everything he does off and on the ice if he thinks he's got a chance to be a regular starter in the National Hockey League. He's got to fix something. He's got to change something about his...
Yeah.
From the moment you brush your teeth, for God's sakes.
It's funny because these situations like this, there's not really any analysis to be done aside from you cross your fingers. If he can play, he's awesome. If he can't, he isn't. He has to deal with that, Kip.
We're back to hoping again.
Yeah, he has to play with that, and maybe you have to plan around that. And that's not a great spot to be in. So certainly that.
So
might
we got
be a
specialty
hole.
Teams, goaltending.
You know, I got to say, I don't think Marner was good enough, Kippy.
Like, yeah, I just, that, no, he wasn't. He wasn't.
I think
he was not good enough.
He, you know, there he's leaned on. He's the high one of the highest paced wingers in the league. And he, guess what? I'll give him credit for being good defensively. Good defensively, he held did a good job on Pasternak. Except, you know, in overtime when he blows by him, he doesn't look at him. He just has to be better in these playoff games, Kippy. And he's like the reason people are mad at him.
He's not.
It's valid.
He's not the reason why they lost the first round.
No, but he's one of them.
I mean, okay, I'm okay with that.
But Kip, they lose by a goal.
But where was your $11 million centerman? Wow. And you're like you.
What do you, where was you he? Validated. He was hurt. He was in the press box half the time, or he was
Tavares.
Sick. Oh, the
$11 million centerman.
Okay, so Tavares.
Where is he? You get to justify it because you say, well, there's just no expectations, right? And it's like, no, that's not good enough. That can't be good enough. You're still in a position where you're getting paid $11 million,
and he's going to get the same
produce.
Treatment. Where they're going to
not even close. He's getting the same treatment.
No, he's going
not
to,
even close.
Well, the expectation is different, but he's going to get the same treatment in terms of you got to talk to him and see if he's willing to go somewhere else with the no move. Because you're right. He's providing value that's maybe half of his contract at most.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I guess it's just weird to fight about Mitch Marner all the time.
No, it's not a fight. It's just you see what you want to see. I still see one of the most productive players in the league the last 5 years, right? Yeah. And he didn't get it done for the Leafs, but like you got to look at the big picture here. Like even if Mitch showed up, I'm not sure it would have been enough.
Well, I mean, if he is a key contributor to the power play, and it's a lot of coaching, but you know, if he's better on the power play, maybe they score more. Like he's one of the team's best players, oftentimes been the Leafs' best player. And how many points did he end up with this series?
There was no back end support for any of them up front. There is no layers. Morgan Riley was not Morgan from Tampa Bay.
No.
So who's jumping up? Who's helping those guys up front? Who's layering behind
McMahon,
them?
McMahon, another injury-prone guy that hurt not having, right?
Right. It's like...
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, man.
Take a look at every other D-blue line and just see where the contributions are coming. You got, like, meat and potato guys back there. You know, they had some success standing up at the blue line. They challenged. They blocked shots, but...
Yeah,
where's the skill to help out Tavares, Marner, Matthews, Nylander, or you just got to wait for Nylander to keep circling around and fire one into the net?
I think you're going to see some changes there, right? It would be nice to have someone on the back end who could run the power play and shoot it in. I know they tried that with Klingberg. So it will be an area to address for sure. The was it 14 straight goals with three or fewer goals, 13 of those two or fewer. So, I mean, Maple Leafs in the last seven winner take all games 0-7, 12 goals for, 27 against, 14% power play. So, not good enough.
Meat and potato guys were pretty good, I think, overall.
Yeah.
And Dewar in and out of the lineup, he was okay.
I think you can look and say there are positives, and I know it's early to turn that page. But, like, nice, great series. Feel good about him. I think Robertson will score goals next year. Like, I think there's good things there, but, tough one today. No. Tough one today. All right, well, any other clips we want to get to before we hit the break?
What do you want to talk about?
We haven't done the big picture stuff, which I know you want
to do. No, we'll do that after the break.
Okay.
And we haven't talked about the head coach.
Right.
No, that's big picture stuff. You know, Brendan and Tree Living and Keefe. Where are they? What's their status here? We can get all into that after the break.
Let's do that.
Yep.
Okay. We'll take a few words to pay some bills, and we're back with more of Real Kipper and Born Leaf Edition after these words.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right. You still like some clips from Saturday night, Sammy, or should we move on?
I mean,
Which one you like?
The one that got everybody all hot and bothered was clip number three. So if you want to play clip number three, Derek, and then we can talk about it after that.
They're a very structured team. You know, they do a very good job through the neutral zone, and they protect their net as well or better than most any team in the NHL. And they were content to do that. You know, they were content to do that. It's very evident. Teams play the Leafs. They set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves. And I thought we did that in game three and four. We beat ourselves with how we played at home. I thought in games one and two, parts of one were like three and four, but game two certainly, and five and six, the way we played, that's a way that can win, and did win, you know, three of the games in this series, and didn't beat ourselves. So it makes it hard to get offense.
That one bothered you?
The middle part.
That made people mad about the team set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he fell into that kind of Mitch Marner, if I could choose my words a little bit more carefully.
And he followed it up by saying today something about how, like, you know, a lot of teams set up traps for other teams. Yeah. And, like, he kind of, like, walked
and
it back
I think that's
a
where
bit.
He was trying to – where he's trying to go.
You know what the strangest part of it is to me, right? By a good distance, is him referring to the team as the Leafs.
Yeah, that's...
To not just being like, us. Yeah, they, you know... Yeah, exactly. They just,
I think
they
for the most part...
for us to beat ourselves.
What I got at him today, actually, was I thought he, under the circumstances, did a good job because he constantly went to the ownership of, it's my job, I didn't get it done, I should be held accountable.
Do you want to hear his opening monologue from today, Keith?
Yeah.
Number five. Clip five, please. Okay, we're waiting for clip five.
So I think it was his way of trying to say the same thing about, like, they force mistakes on us, right? Which he could have said.
Basically saying, they believe that we'll take chances and give it up the other way eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't much.
They just forced their mistakes. Okay, let's hear today's.
Today is always a difficult day and really the worst day of the season, which is... It should feel that way when you don't meet expectations. And today is certainly one of those days. We're in the results business here. And we didn't get results. And we haven't met expectations. And as a head coach, I take responsibility for that. You have a team that has expectations and has goals in mind, and you don't reach them. It's not a good feeling. My job as a head coach is to find solutions and chart a path ahead for the group to come through and to succeed at the most important time of year. And we haven't done that. I do feel a year ago, took a step in the right direction as a group. I love the resolve that we showed in this series, game five and six in particular, to give us a chance to compete in game seven. But clearly that's not enough, and that sits with me.
That was his, like, he caught a promo before the press conference even started. No one asked him a question. Then he said after that, we'll open it up for questions. So everyone, and I wanted to talk about this in the first segment. I asked you guys about this. This is kind of me thinking through the series over the past couple of days. But, you know, you think about game five and six, and he always refers to game five and six. Game four killed them.
Game four is embarrassing.
Game four, the further we get away from this series... Will be one that I look back on.
They lost it in the first. They did lose the series.
Game four, they lost the series to me.
They lost it at 3-1.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, Boston's going to blow it again. Boston's going to blow it again.
And they almost did. But
nobody has done it. Nobody's lost back-to-back 3-1 leads in the history of the game.
Yep.
Okay, the odds were not in the Leafs' favor of coming back.
Yeah.
So that's the series was lost the first four games.
Well, no, I think, Kipper, 2-1 through three games of a playoff series is a total, like, that's fine. Like, that happens a million times of a million. You just, the good teams always win that game four. If you're going to, to make it 2-2 to even it back, to keep the home ice advantage, the way they performed in that game four will always haunt me.
Being
in this
down
series.
3-1 is too big of a hill to climb.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Yeah. So
where are we on Sheldon Keefe? What do you think? Mm-hmm. Keeps his job? Mm. Fire him? What do you say?
Listen, I think he's a good coach. I don't know that anyone's doing anything tactically different, better, whatever, but you're on the hook for those special teams. You know, that's a big part of your responsibility as a coach. They go 1-for-20, they fall a goal short. I think, you know, you've been given some pretty great tools here and haven't really gotten met expectations.
I don't know. I mean, I get it that the numbers on the power play, but I'm not sure, like, when push came to shove, he had the right tools for a power play.
No?
Nothing in the back end. You went and got Klingberg because you didn't feel like Morgan Riley could get the job done.
Yeah, but Kip, in the regular season, right? They're 20-some percent, you know?
Regular season. We've been here. I told you half the teams stink in this league.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can build up a lot of crapola stats on crappy teams.
I mean, they have $40 million worth of forwards on their power.
It doesn't matter. It's wrong.
It should matter,
no.
Kipper. It should matter. Like,
I'm telling you.
To say that he doesn't have the tools is crazy.
Morgan's not a QB quarterback back there.
I know he's not. But they had a 25% power play last year in the playoffs with them.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just, no, like for me, a power play has to be with everybody. And I look at Edmonton Oilers right now, and they're not missing a thing. They got a guy that can skate in 1,000 miles an hour. Yeah. So what? He's one guy.
Yeah, but
he's one guy.
Maybe the greatest guy in the history of the game, Kipper, playing the power play.
I'm telling you, it's not enough. You got net front presence. You got Nugent Hopkins. You got Dreisaitl, who can shoot it off of a 1 foot line, a goal line, and you've got Bouchard, who can hammer it like nobody's business. But it is complete.
What would that power play look like without McDavid?
I don't know what the answer is there, but I know that 11 of the 16 teams in the first round of the playoffs were 20% and higher in terms of conversion rate.
Mm-hmm.
8 of them 25 and higher, being Carolina, Vegas, the Islanders, Dallas, Bruins. Like, the Islanders, Kip, they don't have the pieces either. They shot it in the net a few times. Like,
listen, they never set anything up, anything that looked consistent. Like, sometimes Mitch Marner was in the bumper spot.
Yeah, but that's why he's on the hook, right?
Sometimes he's down low. You don't know what he's being told. You don't know what their direction that they're giving him. You don't know what anything's going on down there. Like,
sometimes business.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, and they don't identify. They don't. They look like they're following arrows on the ice.
I agree with that.
Okay. So they don't look like a team that takes what's given and let your imagination run. They look like they're just like suffocating in information.
So, what are you saying here then about the head coach? Because I think if there's one thing that unites everybody talking about this is that Keefe, and I actually like listening to Keefe today, like you said, there's some things that he said that I didn't love, talking about the process being good in the power play, but like generally, and you're not supposed to judge people like that. He seems like a good guy. Yeah. And like, I see him up there and I like the way he's talking. He's been on our show. He says all these things.
I'm leaning towards more on you that I think that there's something there for him to be a good coach. I think he could take this learning experience out of the Toronto Maple Leafs and it can make him a better coach down the road.
But it just can't happen here anymore.
But I'm not far off on that at all.
Yeah.
He does lack attention to detail for me.
In what way?
Power play,
game
winning goal. Like, and that's again, like you can sit there and you're going to blame Mitch Marner on a 200 or 100 foot dump in that a winger isn't the first guy in the zone.
No, he wants to cut him off.
It was like, go watch Tavares there, not Angle Lindholm. Go watch Willie. So Austin got to change, Bertuzzi changed. You stayed out there. What was the one common theme we've had? Right? Long shifts, bad changes. Now you're out there, Willie. You're standing flat-footed along with 44. That's the collection I'm talking to. You want to just blame Mitch Marner on that goal? Go ahead.
But it's
a 100-foot dump in.
Yeah.
I've played a wing my whole life. When a defenseman dumps it in at center ice, I'm not the first guy to go back in, get it.
He's not supposed to go back and get it. He's just supposed to slow past it down.
God.
That's his lane. He's just supposed to cut him off, slow him down, so he's not going 1,000 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's his role. Wow.
Sammy.
What?
Sammy the goalie.
That one, I'm with you
100%. Pull out a sleeping bag.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
100% on the goaltending on that play is terrible.
Yeah. Get your stick out.
Yeah. Jam them.
Anyways, back to, I mean, I don't, I have a hard time blaming Sheldon for the overtime goal or whatever, but I just,
I think attention to detail.
I know. And I think after so many years here, and maybe when he's the head coach of the Penguins next year, he'll be even better. But like, just to me, there's just too many, like with a lot of these guys on this team, there's just too many scars, and it's time that you have to change it.
Even if they change Sheldon, like Sheldon right now with his playoff record, he's low hanging fruit.
In one way, I think your team would scoop him up.
To let him go. No, to let him go.
Yeah. So what's,
is that enough?
Here's what I see where the Leafs are at right now. This to me is a period of feeling things out, like feeling out what does Keith Pelley want to do with Brendan Shanahan? And maybe they don't want to fire a coach because they don't know who's going to be making the decisions above that. So, you know, there's some delay on making decisions with Keith while they decide what to do above him. I think you're feeling that process out. To go back to an earlier conversation, I think you're feeling things out with Marner and Tavares and feeling things out with other teams to see if other things are out there. Like, right now, people want action. This, to me, is a time where there's going to be a lot of, like, what are we doing here? What's available? Yeah. What are our options?
Processes?
What are our options?
I don't see anything blowing up Thursday. Do you?
You don't think? Well, we'll talk about Brandon Shanahan. His name has come up a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think people talked about the Shanahan plan, the time it's had to have success. It hasn't had the success.
Yeah.
A new, you know, Keith Pelley's taking over to MLSE.
Well, what is the mandate, like, what is Keith Pelley right now? Like, why did MLSE decide that he needed Keith Pelley?
Presumably to make MLSE money, whatever that takes.
Oh, God, it's a machine, man. It's making money.
I think they'll be okay with money. Right. Seems like they got a lot of that.
I'm sorry. The two of you don't think money is an MLSE issue.
It's to make sure that the cash cow keeps pushing.
Right.
For sure. But it's also to... I got to think, make the Toronto Maple Leafs a priority to win now.
Yeah, sure.
So
that'd be a money
maker.
What
does that mean now? Like, so right now he's got to decide on Brendan Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's made the decision?
Yeah. Don't you? Or do you wait for the result and then?
There's so many. It's kind of complex because it's like, and Elliot wrote about this or said it in 32 Thoughts about, if you let him go, do you go get another president? Do you need another president now that Keith Pelley's kind of the president?
Yeah.
Right?
That'd be embarrassing. It's like,
so
fire you. Right? Your job. We didn't need that job at all.
They're replacing you with a ghost.
So that's another question too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Like you didn't, we know at MLSE in general, there's a lot of chefs over there.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. There are a lot of jobs, a lot of chefs. You just added another one in Keith Pelley. So
he's trying to streamline.
Are they in it together now? Keith and Brendan? Is there their mandate to work together to try to win a Stanley Cup?
Well, I believe...
How is it going to work?
Yeah, the change in reporting, I believe, when he came in was that Masai and Brendan would report directly to him.
Yeah.
So he certainly is more involved in the operations. And yeah, that's going to dictate what happens from there.
So,
it's very telling because, like I've said before, lots of experience in watching these and doing these media year-end avails. They always say, like, I follow the Leafs media PR Twitter account or whatever, and they'll say, this person is going to be addressing on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon Keefe and select players will be available tomorrow. For the one they said about, they didn't include any names. They said management.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference than normal. And it's a very different thing for them to do it on the Thursday as opposed to doing it the same day.
Yeah.
To have 4 days difference, I mean, that tells you that something's
coming.
Doesn't strike me as a guy that just needs to say something to appease anybody. That he's so far beyond that. So, you know, I kind of feel for him because he's in a no-win situation. If he fires Brendan Shanahan on Thursday, mm-hmm. then it's a knee-jerk reaction to the noise.
No, I don't think that'll be the perception at all, Kipper. I mean, this has been.
I actually think it's tone deaf if you don't react to the noise at this point.
I think it is.
You think it'd be a knee-jerk reaction?
He's got another year on his deal.
Mm.
Okay, so what is the hurry here?
Because it's been 10 years of nothing.
No, I get
Kipper.
That. See, that's appeasing you, Sammy, because you're making the noise that we've had enough.
Yeah.
Get rid of him.
Yeah.
And it's not the way it works.
But if you're looking to make money, the people who are going to pay the money are the ones who
are
upset.
They're going to pay it. In 2 weeks from now, a month from now, if you decide, or next September, you might want to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no rush here. And, you know, there's still business to be had here. Like, there's a draft. There's a lot of how many people are you going to fire?
Let me just.
One guy?
Let me just do a summation of this show. You are fine with keeping Shanahan.
No rush on that.
Hold on.
You're
fine with Sheldon Keefe actually a little bit. And don't think that Marner was bad.
No. I'm just saying. It's very complex.
Yeah, I know it's complex.
Just saying.
That's what I'm saying.
He wants him fired because he's jilted.
People
he's been left at the altar again.
Stakes, 100%.
And it's not the way it works. That's all. I think.
Well, it's not the way it works. In what?
In business, NHL business.
Okay.
You make decisions because
you fire guys all the time for way less than this.
Not presidents as quickly, though. This is like a new sort of.
And he's not just any president either. He's Brendan Shanahan.
I understand all that.
There's a different feel.
He is Brendan Shanahan.
It's a different feel.
I get it.
So are you, if you fire him Thursday, are you replacing him right away? Are you not replacing him right away? Who's going to be now the decision maker? Are you ready now to give it to Brad Treliving?
No.
Okay. So who's coming in?
That's one thing to fire Sammy, Keith Pelly.
And it's another thing to replace. Many ways Sheldon got to keep his job because you couldn't find anybody better last year.
But that's
and then you
different
gave him a 2-year deal.
Yeah, the 2-year deal, talk about appeasing the masses, was to quiet the hordes from, you know, why isn't he extended, yada, yada.
So I'm just saying that I don't expect anything real Thursday to happen.
Really? So you think Brandon Shanahan will be coming out on Thursday? Yeah. Why wouldn't they say President Brandon Shanahan will be addressing the media?
I said it's feeling out time. I think they're figuring things out.
I'm with him.
What do we want to do here?
We're reevaluating. So you on the top of our show,
change.
Okay.
Has to be change.
Buddy, I can name you 10 things that could be enough to change and for Brandon to keep his job.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he goes to Keith Pelly and he says, listen, we can't run it anymore. Okay, what does that mean?
Mm.
Well, it means that we're going to trade Mitch Marner. Okay, is that enough?
No.
Oh, no, we're going to trade Mitch Marner and we're going to fire the coach. Is that enough? Okay, Brendan, you get to stay then?
If we have a guy who's back against the wall and he has to chop heads off till he keeps his job, he's going to chop heads off.
Where's the cut line for Brendan?
What's
enough to keep my job?
But at the end of the day, with this organization, with the lack of accountability that there's been since day one and all these guys getting everything they've ever wanted before they did anything for the team, all of that has been underneath Shanahan. And if you just trade this guy and trade this guy and fire the coach, if he's still
I'm not arguing with that. It's the same thing,
just different guys around it.
But it's valid and there's no argument against it. I'm just telling you the different scenarios behind the scenes.
How heartbreaking it is for me to be having this conversation. There's few things that excited me more as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan than when Brandon Shanahan got hired 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, we got Brandon Shanahan as the president. Here come the cups. And it just hasn't worked.
Like,
and it breaks my heart that Brandon Shanahan is one of my favorite hockey players of all time.
Same.
To have this conversation, it kills me. But at some point here, you got to have a systematic change.
Results.
For me, like, how far is Brendan in with Keith Pelly to really, truly have a conversation? I know they've had some dinners together, but how deep are you already into, hey, tell me about your 10 years here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And in great detail.
There's actually a fair point to be made that there's a lot of information to
change.
Hopefully
they had a lot of dessert and coffee in that dinner.
tell me about Nick Foligno. Tell me about that trade.
Ugh.
Was that you? Was that Kyle Dubas? Did you believe your scouts? Like, or no, that was just you. So, like, a lot of things are going on behind the scenes right now, and I don't think anything's been definitively defined yet. Does that make sense?
Was that an hour?
I guess.
I don't know. Usually when he plays the music, he's wrong, Derek Brandale. Did he get it right today?
The timing's right.
Oh, I felt good, boy. I feel better.
Oh, my gosh, that's a fast hour.
I don't. I'm more confused
than ever. All right, the good news is we're still at it. when we go national, and we'll welcome in Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He'll give us some goods on the Toronto Maple Leafs moving forward. New coach or not. We're back after these words.